Good morning and welcome. This is an open meeting of the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board, October 16, 2007. We welcome those of you who have joined us today both in person and listening to the webcast of this meeting. Today the Board will consider a recommendation to adopt amendments to the Board's rule on the frequency of inspection for small firms. Before we proceed, I will note for the record that all members are present at today's meeting. The first and only order of business before the Board today is a recommendation that the Board adopt amendments to Rule 4003. The amendments would eliminate the current rule's requirement that the Board inspect certain registered firms that do not regularly provide audit reports to issuers. I'll now turn over to Deputy General Counsel Michael Stevenson and our Deputy Director of Inspections, Chris Mandelaris, to present this recommendation. Michael and Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, members of the Board. We're here this morning to recommend that the Board adopt amendments to Board Rule 4003, which concerns the minimum frequency with which the Board will inspect certain categories of registered public accounting firms. We're recommending that the Board adopt the amendments substantially in the form that the Board proposed for public comment in May of this year. Under Rule 4003, a requirement that the Board inspect a registered firm is triggered any time a firm issues an audit report or plays a substantial role in the preparation or furnishing of an audit report. That's existing Rule 4003. These inspection triggering criteria are broader than those in the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. Sarbanes-Oxley only requires the Board to inspect registered firms that regularly provide audit reports for issuers. Our recommendation today is that the Board adopt amendments to Rule 4003 so that the rule will not require the Board to conduct inspections that the Act does not also require. So I want to emphasize that the amendments would do nothing to diminish the Board's authority to inspect any registered firm at any time. There are two respects in which the Board rule encompasses firms beyond those described in the Act. First, it encompasses firms that play a substantial role in the preparation or furnishing of an audit report. Playing a substantial role in the preparation or furnishing of an audit report is a term that's defined in the Board's rules, in Rule 1001, in some detail that I won't go into here. But there are registered firms that play a substantial role in one or more audits and do not separately have any issuer clients which they serve as the principal auditor. We refer to those firms as substantial role-only firms. The Act does not require the Board to inspect these firms because they do not regularly issue audit reports, but the Board's rule currently does require the Board to inspect those firms. The second way in which the existing rule goes beyond the Act is that the rule requires at least one inspection of a firm, even if the firm issues only a single audit report while registered, without regard to whether the firm regularly issues audit reports. The result of that requirement can sometimes be that the Board devotes inspection resources to inspect a firm on the basis of a single audit report issued 3 years before the inspection by a firm that may no longer be auditing issuers. There are approximately 1,800 registered firms today, and approximately 800 of those firms have issued audit reports with respect to issuers in one or both of the last two calendar years. Those numbers are somewhat higher than I think was anticipated when the Board adopted Rule 4003 in 2003, back even before the statutory deadline for auditors to be registered with the Board. The fundamental point motivating this recommendation is that in light of those numbers, the Board can best fulfill the inspection aspect of its mission by not routinely diverting inspection resources to firms that do not actually serve as principal auditor for an issuer or to firms that have not done so more recently than 3 years ago. To bring the rule into line with that objective, the recommended amendments have three distinct components. First, the amendments would remove the requirement that the Board inspect substantial role-only firms and leave to the Board's discretion whether and when to inspect any such firm. Second, the amendments would add a provision that gives the Board the ability to forego an otherwise required inspection if, after issuing an audit report that triggers an inspection requirement, but before an inspection occurs, the firm goes two consecutive years without issuing an audit report. And third, the amendments would specify that if a firm provides a consent for an issuer to to use a previously issued audit report, that act of consent would not by itself trigger an inspection requirement. That's the substance of what the amendments address and what I wanted to present today. Before closing, I want to quickly acknowledge the constant good help of Renee Phelan and Suzanne Kinzer in the Inspections Division for their mastery of all the data that goes into analyzing these questions correctly and their constant ability to answer my questions in a moment's notice. With that, Chris and I would be happy to address any questions about the recommendation.
Thank you, Michael and Chris. Are there any motions regarding this matter?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Grattison.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board adopt the amendments to Rule 4003 as recommended by the staff and instruct the staff to submit the amendments to the Securities and Exchange Commission for approval pursuant to Section 107 of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act.
Is there a second?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I second.
Thank you, Bill and Kayla. The motion has been made and seconded, so the question before the board is whether it will approve the motion and adopt the rule amendments and submit them to the Securities and Exchange Commission for approval. This amendment is the result of a good deal of thought and discussion about how best to deploy the board's inspection resources. The board's rules currently have a self-imposed mandate to conduct regular inspections of firms that play a substantial role in audits but do not have principal responsibility for an audit, as Michael just defined. The board adopted that requirement just as our inspection program was getting started, and we're now properly reconsidering that requirement in light of what we know today about the risks presented by substantial role firms based on our experience in conducting inspections. Although we did not receive many comments on the proposed amendment, those we did receive support the amendment. I also support the amendment because, in my view, the current requirement does not result in the best use of the inspection resources. I believe it is better to direct our scarce inspection resources to the approximately 800 firms that currently and regularly act as the principal auditor for an issuer. This board change is consistent with the risk-based focus of the board's inspection program and is in the best interest of investors. But I want to reiterate a point I made when we proposed this amendment. No one should misinterpret this amendment as in any sense lightening up on what is required of a substantial role firm in the audit of an issuer. They must comply with PCAOB standards and cooperate in any board inspection or investigation. The board retains the authority and discretion to inspect any registered firm at any time. And it is entirely possible that through our inspections of principal auditors or through other means, we will identify a need to inspect firms that have played substantial roles in one or more audits. Are there comments or questions from other board members? Kayla.
Just one question. The chairman referred to public comment being supported. Could you just, for the record, briefly summarize what that public comment was?
Yes, I should have done that in my presentation, but the board received three comment letters, two from firms and one from the New York State Society of CPAs, all just expressing generally support for the board's approach.
Thank you. I, too, would like to join with the chairman with his pointing out the fact that nothing in these amendments would prevent us from inspecting a substantial role-only firm should we, in the course of a regular inspection of a principal auditor, find that there's cause to do so. And based on that, I support the amendment. Thank you.
Other comments or questions? Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, as you and Mr. Stevenson have both indicated, these amendments to Rule 403 would reduce the universe of accounting firms that the board must inspect in two basic ways. First, the amendments would relieve the board of the obligation to inspect firms that do not issue public company audit reports, but that merely play a role in support of the work of the certifying firm. Second, the amendments would exclude firms that occasionally issue an audit report, but don't regularly provide public company audit reports. In both of these respects, these changes would cut back on self-imposed inspection obligations in order to match the requirements of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. When Rule 403 was originally adopted in 2003, we included these two categories of firms and our regular inspection regime in what I would characterize as an effort to be as comprehensive as possible. Since then, we've conducted over 700 inspections and have gained added insight into the challenges and benefits of the inspection process. One of the things we've certainly learned is that the board must prioritize how it deploys its limited inspection resources. There are currently almost 1,800 firms registered with the board. Only 802 of those, fewer than half, have actually issued an audit report on a U.S. public company in one or both of the two most recent years. It makes obvious sense, I think, for the board to concentrate its inspections on those firms. For the others, we should rely on the ability to inspect on a case-by-case basis when the circumstances warrant. These amendments will allow the board to redirect inspection effort from those firms whose work has only a very limited impact on the investing public to those on whose work investors depend. The very few public comments we received agreed with that approach, and I support the recommendation. I did want to ask just a couple of things, Michael, to bring out several points. First, can you give a sense of how many substantial role firms there are and how many firms there are that don't regularly issue inspection reports? And what will be the, can you quantify the impact of these exceptions for our inspection program?
Yes, well, let me address those separately. And substantial role firms, though the information we have is a little imprecise, the best information we have is that there are maybe 187 registered firms that play a substantial role in audits, but that have not issued any audit reports since they registered with the board. On the other question of how many firms sort of have issued audit reports but don't regularly do so, I think that's a number that would vary from year to year. It depends in any given year on how many firms issued audit reports 3 years earlier and haven't in the two succeeding years, and then you'd have to take out from that universe any firms that we might have inspected in the first or second year after that audit report. So we did that analysis a little earlier this year to see what that would look like for 2007, and that came out to 19 firms that would fall out in 2007. That's not up to date. Some of those firms may since have withdrawn, but I think that sort of gives you a range of the impact of that amendment.
And I guess even accepting that those numbers, particularly the second one, have to be somewhat approximate, those that are quick with the math would see that 187, 19, and 802 don't add up to 1,800. I mean, there's also a big group that are registered with us, but aren't, or at least in the recent past, haven't participated in public company audit.
Right, they don't fall into any of these categories.
And obviously we don't expect those from.
Right.
Of those that would be excluded by this rule, can you characterize how many are domestic and how many are foreign? And is this a rule change that affects primarily non-U.S. firms?
Well, on the substantial role side, I mean, again, on the regularly issued side, I think that'll vary from year to year. But on the substantial role side, of the 187 that I mentioned, 162 of those are non-U.S. firms. So the amendment would reduce the number of U.S. inspections we conduct, but it would, you're correct, that it would have a greater impact on the number of non-U.S. inspections we conduct.
On all substantial roles.
On substantial. I mean, I would add, there are still 800 firms currently, approximately, that we would regularly be inspecting because they issue audit reports, and some 230 of those are non-U.S. firms.
But let me turn briefly to something else. And Rule 4003E would say that the board shall have the discretion to forego any inspection that falls within the scope of that rule, the non-regularly issuing firms. How will that discretion be exercised? And that language implies some sort of decision. How will that decision be made?
Well, I think discretion to forego means, in effect, that the board is not required to conduct the inspection. And as a practical matter, as described in the release, the intention and the operating premise here is that the inspection staff generally would not conduct inspections of firms that fall into that category.
So it'd be basically something that the staff will do in the course of its planning of the inspections each each year.
Right, as the staff currently does.
And just finally, I think everybody who's addressed this morning has said that it's kind of a resource prioritization issue, focusing on the resources where they can be most effective. Can either you or Chris give any impression of what the budgetary impact of this rule will be?
Yes, I can. The proposed amendment the board put out in May of 07, and so our 2008 budget is based on the premise that this rule would be in effect. And so if this rule is passed today and subsequently approved by the SEC, we wouldn't change our proposed 2008 budget.
And I guess if we don't adopt it or the SEC doesn't approve it, then we would obviously have to request additional resources in order to conduct these inspections.
That would probably be a fair assumption.
Okay. And with that, that's all I have. I would just like to join in. Other than the two of you and Suzanne and Renee for your work on this.
Other questions? Charlie?
I'm appreciative of the amount of effort and thought that's gone into this amendment to 2003. I have no additional comments.
Bill?
I have none. Okay, thank you.
If there's no further discussion, I'll put the question to the board. Those in favor of approving the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it, and the motion is carried. If there's no further business, this concludes our agenda today, and the meeting is now adjourned. We will now rise from the open meeting and reconvene in the regular scheduled closed meeting.